the wisdom of God is beyond the comprehension of man. You see, God has not unveiled what he has in mind. He has not told us. We just gave people glimpses, but he has not told us the full package. Even Paul did not see the full package. Say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Nay, it has not come into the heart of men what God has in mind. Praise God. One of the greatest regrets people will have is getting to eternity and finding out what God had in mind, and they will cry for all of eternity. But you that right now you are looking at you look like swagmen, you look like idiots. No. Praise God. Please have your seat. I'm sorry. I'm careful how I enter this meeting. Praise God. My time is already counting. I've not started. I'm just greeting. Praise God. Otherwise, I will have to be asking for an extra 10 minutes. So just pause your time. Praise God. I'll tell you when I want to start. I want to gist. I'm just gisting. Amen. You know, where was I? Oh, you've forgotten the gist. Praise God. No. I've forgotten the gist. All right. Pardon? No, that's not it. Eternity regrets. Thank you very much. Eternity regrets. You see, God deliberately decided that whosoever is going to inherit his glory will do it because of love, not because of what you have seen. Praise God. And in that circumstance, you still love him. Not having seen him, you still love. The thing God will do when you meet him face to face, you will be thanking him that I took that decision to follow. So what we're talking about, how many of you have ever been, they have used something to sprinkle you under your arm? Did you find it? It was very, very strange at the beginning, right? I watched the film before. Or the Korean, or this North Korean fight in America. They captured some North Korean Vietnamese or so. And he wanted to torture him. And he said, I will not talk. They said, who's going to torture you? So they strapped him on a table and took a feather and were tickling his leg. The guy laughed and began to cry. Nobody begged his brother, he stood all the tickling. Praise God. Are you with me? But the interesting thing is that, you see, the joy of the Lord is new every morning. It's like, if there is morning and evening in heaven, when you are finished enjoying pleasure, you will come to another level of pleasure. And God will grant the capacity to endure the pleasure. And you understand that? That's the play of words. Amen. There will never be a dull moment in heaven. In his presence, there will never be a dull moment. So I want to start by encouraging you. Like I said, look, whatever happens, don't throw in the towel. But Peter said, we have not followed cunningly devised schemes. It's not a lie. Your circumstances can suggest to you that it's a lie. But I'm begging you, I'm saying to you, from my own personal experience, it is not a lie. Amen. Amen. Whatever happens, I told you about what was, they asked a particular boxer and said, what does it take to be a world champion? And he said, fight one more round. Praise the Lord. Amen. So don't throw in the towel. Circumstances will come across your way. See, they told us many years ago that we're going into the world. We're graduating from university. And then we're going into the world. And I was like, what is in the world? And we have not seen. When you enter the world, you really have not seen. Amen. You will know you have not seen nothing. Pastor Thompson shared with us as a young man when he was in school, similar to the story he shared, that he was so potent with the anointing that he could pray for somebody whose hands were shorting or legs were shorting and the person's hand would go back. That was
uprooted, the grace upon his life was where he was in mercy. But the young man went to the wilderness and disappeared. One day, Reverend Cale was somewhere in the wilderness, and the young man asked, I think we'll do this.
He just smiled and moved away. So when he told Thompson, this is the kind of guy, he said, that's the guy I was talking to you about. When you graduate, you will need money. Hello? Now your parents are giving you money. When you now want to go and look for a job, woe betide you, God help you if you are pretty. They will say this job is going to fetch you 300,000 per month, but we must sleep with you. At that point, you will have to make a decision. Whether your Christianity is genuine or is fake. Everything out there is full of compromises. Amen. And you will meet brethren who will tell you it doesn't matter. That is okay. Will you cast away your confidence? Will you cast away the things that you've heard? The consecration of the prayers you have made in his presence. Will you forget all those things? Will you forget the great and precious promises that have been given to you? Hallelujah. You can't afford to throw in the towel. You can't afford to. Because so much is being presented to you today and in the past few days and will still come your way again. And you'll be held responsible for those things you've heard. Amen. One of the major challenges, now this is not my message, I'm still gisting. Praise God. One of the major challenges that gives me concern is the fact that when Paul spoke to Timothy, said the things that you have heard of me, that I preached and you've heard from other witnesses that I've also taught them, said the same, commit to who? Faithful men. Who has the capacity to pass it on? There was a four-generational transition there. But after Timothy and the next generation, everything, all the secrets, all the things that God had deposited in that church, we are just rediscovering it. Are you with me? We are doing what? We are just rediscovering them. Rediscovering them. For how long will God keep on going in rings and in circles? He will raise a generation, and that generation is not able to pass on those things they've learned to the next generation. There are many reasons, but I can understand the problem with Gehazi and Elisha. Remember, Elisha stayed. Elisha did what? Stayed with Elijah. In fact, Elijah deliberately frustrated his life. I don't know if I were to have been the person, I'd have told Elijah, keep your anointing. It's not my fault. At least I was walking before my father's family. Praise God. Do you understand me? But there was something about that man's heart that he kept going. He kept going. And the son of the prophet kept making fun of him. They kept making fun of him. And when he got the spirit, got double portion of the spirit. But why was Gehazi unable to continue the lineage? We're having that same problem. There are people in this place. You need God to deliver from the spirit of Gehazi. Many of you I remember when I was back in Agape then, once you are an ordained minister, people carry your Bibles. People have my father's mate, genuflect and kneel down and greet me. I was a big boy, praise God. Amen. And it's those things that you need to get, they can get into your head and you lose focus. And so when it was time for those of us to move on, I didn't leave with joy. They gave me the left leg of fellowship. Praise God. They literally kicked me out for no sin that I committed. I thank God, like Paul said, I did not covet every man's house. So you can't blame me that I stole money. Praise God. What was my sin? That we may do things right. That's all. Let us build according to the pattern. That was my sin. Amen. And I have no regrets. I have no regrets. So, like I told Pastor,
One of the things that I can't stand is when you want me to do that different from the pattern. I won't take it. Because generations have wasted time. We have wasted time. For how long are we going to stay on this mountain? And we are still going round and round and round and round. And now I want to preach now. Praise God. I want to pick up from where he started, where he finished, about the Holy Ghost. I don't know whether they told you or asked you, are you born again with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Were you asked those questions? All of you didn't answer me now. And somehow that thing has locked us in into a paradigm that we cannot come out of. The Holy Ghost is more than tongues. That is just a small fraction of his calling or ministry. About the least of his operation. Amen. The Holy Ghost is what he has told us here this evening. That is supposed to form Christ. And that work is a serious work. Very, very, very serious. And without your cooperation, it is not going to be possible. That's why Isaiah chapter 1 verse 9 say, if you be willing, majority of us are unwilling. That is why you need God to work on your wills. He needs to work on your wills. He needs to work on your taste buds. How many of you, praise God, questions are very, very tough. Get as it be. How many of you have tasted beer before? God bless you. God will bless you for telling the truth. He said, they used to tell us, tell the truth and let the devil be ashamed. Yeah. You know, can you remember the taste? And I'm telling you, the thing is, praise God. Amen. I drank when I was small. The last time I touched beer was when I was in secondary school. My mom had a very, very bad way of smelling things. If you drink beer and you're over there, she'll pick it. So when I drank it, I said, Lord, I just walked away from it. I was not born again. The Lord delivered me from greed. Ojukokoro. How many of you have had the Ojukokoro problem? Glory to God. Amen. All of us, we need deliverance at different levels. That's what has taken place here today. Even when I was not born again, the Spirit of grace was at work. How was I delivered? Two incidences happened. I will repeat it for those of you who have never heard it. School. After school, we had finished the term. And there was this dodo. Bowl full of dodo. And only three of us was in the dining hall. And traditionally, when others don't come to eat, they declare surplus. So when they declare surplus, my small plate, we all ran, we're fighting. There were about three or four bowls. And we're still fighting. Greed. That was how they made Nigerian politicians. And we scooped it and ran to our tables. And we're eating with two hands. And I was still looking at the budodo. And when it came to a time, I was looking one, two. Even at that, my eye was still focused. The Lord saw that I was not yet saved. So one day, another time, I now got extra money. I bought 5 loaves of bread. 5 loaves. The present loaf we buy for about 600 now was 20 naira. Is it 20 naira or 20 kobo? 20 kobo. I bought 5. I bought sardine. I bought butter. Amen. I bought Milo. I bought sugar. And I worked 5 loaves. Bredo, you are not a bredo. I worked 5 loaves. 3 days, I didn't go to toilet. At the end, I went to vomit everything. Then I asked myself, what have I gained? From that point, I learned, what was that? Moderation and
contentment
is great gain. If you call me to come and you come to party, just give me the little rice that will enter my small stomach. I'm okay. You say I don't have a big stomach. And contentment did it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, tonight I want to speak to us. I don't know whether I have enough time to talk, but I will just touch one or two things. I want to talk about the mystery of his plan. I found out that many ministers, many leaders in the church have not paid attention to what is actually God's plan. God has a plan. Now, I'm standing on existing protocol of the prayer that we have prayed. Is that okay? So I don't say, Pastor, I've not prayed. We have prayed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to talk to us about the plan, the mystery of his plan. Paul spoke a lot about this mystery. And that mystery breaks into many things. So many things. Now, hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. There is something playing out that we must understand. Now, this is the reason why I want us to look at it. Listen, when we talk about preparation, there must be an objective, right? There must be a goal. There's an agenda at play. Amen. Now, if you don't understand the agenda, you are likely going to run another man's program. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? And that's part of the reasons why we are where we are today. Because people don't seem to understand what exactly is God trying to do. Now, you can look at the Bible and come up with your own agenda. But listen to me. Let us look at a few things. Now, I have about 10. I can't cover 10. If I maybe cover 3, I think I'll do. I'll continue when I come up again. Praise the Lord. But definitely not today. Amen. Are you there? The Bible says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. In other words, if the mystery should be finished, that means the mystery had a beginning. Praise God. Do you follow me? There was what? A beginning. As he has declared to his servants, the prophet. Now, you remember in Genesis chapter 1 Pastor Tolu spoke about yesterday. He spoke to us about, let us make man. And then we find him doing forming man. It was not accidental. It's not as if he doesn't understand English. You know, he knew what he was doing. And he was following an agenda. The Bible said to us that Adam, and I've said it here, the creation did not die when Eve ate the fruit. She realized. She didn't die. Because the authority and dominion that was committed to man was not domiciled in Eve. It was domiciled in Adam. That's why it's called the sin of Adam, not the sin of Eve. Praise God. In case all of you don't know, you are all products of your father. That's why sin is passed from generation to generation. Because it comes via the sperm, not via the mother. Praise God. And I understand that doctors tell us that a child does not partake from the mother apart from food. Everything is created from that sperm and that egg. That's all. Blood, everything is created from there. Doesn't take anything from that woman. Of course, you know the XY chromosomes. Well, yes, that's true. But in terms of any other materials from the woman, it's basically the sperm that carries that genetic coding. Amen. And so we find out that the nature of sin goes through the genetic coding. For that reason, it was important that Jesus should not come through that pathway. Praise God. Otherwise, the blood he would have carried would have been contaminated and unfit to do the work it was created for. Do you understand? So it's everything is all planned out. So God is working out an elaborate program. Very, very, very complex. It's more complex than complex mathematics. Because if we take it into mathematics, it's very, very, very complex. And yet, it's very simple. Praise God. From experience, I know as a sport person, that when everybody on the team are not committed to the same objective, that team is on the verge of losing. They will lose, no matter how talented they are. I know that from experience. Praise God. I remember they asked Christian Chukwu that they noticed that Enugu Rangers was the coach of Enugu Rangers. The Enugu Rangers does not play ball like Barcelona. You know, pass here, you pass there. Everybody's doing fine, boy. And they asked the reporter, have you found the goalpost in the midfield? Because Enugu Rangers, Okala will kick the ball. It is inside your 18. And there they go and be struggling to put the ball in the net. Nobody counts how many dribbles you dribble. Have you ever said that, Barca dribbled everybody, but Barca lost? Who cares about the dribble you dribble? Who won the match? Amen. Do you understand? And so people have begun to pay attention to what they should not pay attention to. And I believe it is also a wisdom of Lucifer. Now get them busy on what they should not get busy with. And let them expend their life force. And when that generation passes, God will raise another generation. Remember, God did the same thing with Israel. When he brought them to the edge of the promised land, he said, go spy the land. And they went and spied and came back and said, truly God's word is true. We saw the land. Milk and honey, everything is flowing. But there is a problem. We saw giants in the land. Praise God. In our inheritance, there are giants to remove. There are giants to fight. You just fought a few of them, but there are still many more that you still need to fight. Praise God. Some of you say, Pastor, I love God. I love God. One day they will bring you to a place where you will know that you really don't love God. Are you with me, church? Those are giants you need to deal with. Giants of unforgiveness. Giants of bitterness. Have you been betrayed before? No, you can't understand betrayal. Ask Jesus. Amen. His friend betrayed him with a kiss. What more can anybody go so low? Amen. So there are so many experiences that you've not come into that you cannot claim you understand. There was a man of God. They went to greet their friend who was a man of God. And the other friend was suffering. And the other one said, it was Lester Shomra who rebuked his friend. He said, man of God, I understand how you are going through. And Lester looked at him and rebuked him and said, you don't understand. Have you been sick before? Praise God. No, you should understand what he meant, but that's not right. Praise God. Anyway, so we need to be on the same page. If we are on the same page, the issue of denominational conflicts will not come up. If you realize that all of us are on the same side. Amen. Have you not heard Yoruba people say, the husband saw the snake and the wife killed the snake. What's the problem? At least the snake is dead. But when another say, it is me that killed snake, it is not you that killed snake, that home is breaking. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. So it is not about who exactly killed the snake. If you look at the 12 tribes of Israel, and I'm not even checking my notes again. I just hope I will not spend all this time gisting. Amen. But I want you to understand this principle. He said, when he said that we are members of the same body, but we are uniquely different, that mystery, we have not understood it in practice. You know when Jesus Christ said that, this is how men will know that you are my disciples. What is the sign? He said, when you have love one for another. But technically, we are still having problems walking in love. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. We still have challenges working. Those are mighty giants that we must confront. All of you are interested in raising the dead. I mean, we have some guys that want to walk through the walls. They want to levitate. They want to translocate. But they can't walk in love. What is the basis of all that? You are stepping into witchcraft. Into occult operations. Amen. And we're still battling with all this confusion here and there. But we need to grow up. Collectively as a church, as a people, we need to grow up. We can't remain children forever. So I was talking about Israel. They go to the promised land. They said they cannot go. And they said, we cannot go in. And God told them, turn around, going back into this side, and they spent 40 years. You know what happened in that 40 years? God deliberately wasted that generation for 40 years. He just deliberately wasted them. All those people, none of them had a burial ground to point to that this is where my father died. They had none. Amen. And when the children, they said, the giants will kill. When they had grown up to become another generation, he brought them to that same position their fathers had called into and asked them, will you enter into the promised land? Now, if they too had said, the giants are still there, he would have carried them back into the desert and would have wasted them again and bring the next set. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. In his eternal, we are not eternal. Our life on earth, natural life, has a span. Are you with me? It is in his wisdom, it is within this span that you must make a while the sun shines. Everything that God has said about us must be fulfilled. Amen. So you are fortunate you started at the age of 5. Some of us started at the age of 20 something. Some of us are starting at the age of 40. So you now know that time is far gone. There's no much time again. I used to trust God that I will see Jesus. But it's not looking like it. Amen. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm just realistic. There was a time Pop said, yeah, we go with him. All of us will go. We that are alive, we go. But what has Pop said? Now it's late for me, Accra. So if you are looking at me as an unbeliever, Paul was more unbeliever than me. Praise God. Amen. So let us look at some of my things on God's mind and God's agenda. So I said that there's a mystery that is playing out. And so it was not a mistake that Adam ate that fruit. Adam was not deceived. For whatever reason that Adam ate it, Adam was not deceived. Amen. And that's the reason why we are here. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. Jesus was look at Hebrews 10, 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Many of us have not understand how to interpret the book or the books that has been written about us. We are not fulfilling what has been written about us. We are not fighting according to the prophecies that have gone ahead of us. Many of you want God to speak to you. Many of you want to hear the Lord say, my son, arise, go to Morocco. There I will open the door of the king's palace. Hallelujah. Where you ordinarily, you will not come to church on time. They said, come to church at 7. You will come at 8 or 10. I want God to speak to you. He said, if we cannot love the person we see, how can we love God that we don't see? And so there is a mathematics says, corollary. If you cannot listen to the person you can see, how will you listen to God that you cannot see? So your walk in the spirit starts with those mundane things. Praise God. That's where it starts. You think David just came to the throne suddenly, David just appeared and said, by the anointing, Jesus broke the yoke. No, David didn't appear there. David became what he became by mundane obedience. Are you with me? When his parents will call him, David will respond without grumbling. David will respond without complaining. David will go ahead and do it. So when the time came for promotion, God said about his brothers, he said, I have rejected them. That means the decision has already been taken in the courts of heaven and their decision has been finalized. They have been rejected. Praise the Lord. Can you please put off some of the lights? If it's possible to put my own off too. So that these flying insects. But thank God, these ones are not dangerous. Amen. Are you with me, church? So, the volume of books are important for us. Now, the first thing we must understand, I've said it in church, I'm just going to go over some of the things I've said before, for those who have not been in church. Our church specifically. In Matthew 28, from verse 18 and 20, you will find Jesus giving a mandate to the church. and said, go into all the world. I spoke to them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, he says, what? Go ye therefore and teach what? All nations. Doing what? Baptizing them. In the name of God the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Number 20, teaching them to do what? To observe. All things. How many things? All things. Whatsoever I have commanded you. Yea, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, we have used this scripture to push the concept of evangelism. That God wants us to evangelize the world. The truth be said, he didn't send us to evangelize the world. This is not the mandate that he has given to us. No wonder we have not gotten anything right. Praise the Lord. This mandate is a mandate for colonization. You are there to do what? Colonize their mindsets. Take over the way they think and make them obey and follow the instructions. Because it's about kingdom issue. Praise God. Are you with me, church? Do you know what it is to colonize? Do you understand colonization? Now, all of us, you are all wearing shirts and trousers, blouse, and what else do you wear? And skirts, and shoes also. You may not know that our forefathers were not dressed like this. I don't know how my forefathers dressed, praise God. But I know they didn't used to wear this kind of dresses. Amen. It was Oyibo that came. It was Oyibo that told us that drinking tea is a sign of civilization. Amen. Did you read it in the Bible? No. But they told us. They told us that if you are coming for an interview, you must wear suits. If I go for an interview like this, they will fail me. What's going on there? Somebody has been colonized. And that teaching is affecting the way it behaves. Amen. Now, if you think that the whole world will one day be Christians, they will never be Christians. That was not the intention. And if you look at Acts of Apostles, I think chapter 19, when Paul went to Ephesus. Remember, he went to Ephesus. And therefore, for 2 years, he was doing what? He was teaching things pertaining to what? The kingdom. He was not preaching salvation. He was preaching kingdom. Amen. And when you preach kingdom, you are preaching about issues that pertain to your relationship with the king. Are you with me, church? Now, when you have a king, there is one thing I remember in scripture that you must not forget. The Bible says, where the word of a king is, there's what? There's power. You do not negotiate the instructions of a king. You do not rationalize it. Once a king speaks, it is law. I don't know whether you're understanding me. That's the issue here. Many of us have not known Jesus as Lord. You call him Lord, but you don't understand what it means to be Lord. I'll give you an idea of lordship. Amen. You see, he said, does the potter not have the right to decide what he does with his pots? He can decide. He can say, okay, I want to make this vessel a vessel of honor. Okay, this vessel, let's make it run around and just throw it away. It is his choice. You don't have to argue. You can't argue and should not argue. But because we are civilians, we argue. Why did you make him pot of glory? Me, you didn't make me pot of glory. Remember Peter? When the Lord said, follow me. Say, what about this one following me? Jesus said, if I want him to stay, be alive till I come, what is your own problem there? You face your calling. Praise God. And many of us don't understand that part of him. That sometimes he may deprive you of things that are legitimate. I don't understand. You don't understand what I'm saying. Look, you may have, like he's told us, you may have a very bright future and just say, I want you to go to Idore and go and be a missionary. Your parents will not understand. Your siblings will not understand. Your uncles will say, oh, you have collected faith with madness. Praise God. Nobody will understand you. You yourself will be, you will not understand what's going on. I don't know whether you understand me. At that point, you must understand the meaning of lordship. A clue is how he dealt with Ezekiel. You guys don't know Brother Ezekiel. That's one book I don't like reading. Lest, he said, go and do likewise. Amen. If we were to tell any of us to do that, it's not going to be easy. And so he's patient with us. But we can't finish this mandate without us coming to that place where he said, Lord. For Peter, he told him, I will die. The pastor, he said that when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go, right? He said, but when you grow old, they will lead you where you don't want to go. Praise God. Thus signifying the kind of death you should die that will glorify God. What was glorious in that kind of death? Hello? Do we not pray, I shall not die? Suppose he has determined that you should die. Will you not pray against it? Am I communicating any thoughts for you? And so these are issues that you must come to begin to deal with. He's a savior, but you have to go beyond being a savior to becoming Lord. Where his word is law. And Pastor said something yesterday. Who is your final authority? The word of God or your personal opinion? Praise God. When you argue with people and say, but the word of God says, and he's still arguing, you know that the word of God is not final. You don't have to continue to argue because there's no point. Praise God. So, the first thing that you must realize that the first mandate we have is a mandate of what? Colonization. Change their mind. So, where Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians, said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but that what? They are mighty through God. Doing what? We pull down strongholds. What do? We cast down imaginations. We take every thought captive. And what do with their thoughts? We bring them into what? Obedience. That is warfare. It's not the one you are fighting witches in the night. That was low level warfare. Wrestling a man's thoughts. So let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous forsake his ways, the wicked forsake his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord. The reason why the man is wicked are his thoughts. As a man thinketh, if you can change his mind, you win him. But changing a man's mind is a challenge on his own. You need all the resources of God to come to bear. Amen. You need wisdom. You need utterance. You need sight to break through. I was trying to get across to a person, and I was talking to him, and I was telling him that he needs to change, and he was not going to listen. And I said, look, enough. I said, God is going to deal with you. I said, I'm going to report you to God, that God may deal with you. And he laughed. He said, you can report me to God. You can report me to God, just like that. Within 1 week, he was in trouble. Big trouble. And yet, he did not repent. I said, I can't help you. I can't help you. Your case is a bad case. Because he refused to change the way he thinks. Praise God. Hallelujah. The other major problem. Amen. Oh, let me just, I don't want to gist. Let me just go back to my notes so that I will not run into a problem again. Amen. Now, there is this problem that we need to realize that Jesus needs to deal with. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 49. It's a work that is ongoing. It's something that God wants to accomplish. Say, and so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. 46. How be it, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. That's God's wisdom playing out. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. 48. As it is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as it is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. 49. And as we are born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of what? The heavenly. One thing that God is working to accomplish is restoring the image that was destroyed in the garden that Adam lost. People say Adam did many things, but I said what Adam lost was that image. Because if you read the New Testament, you keep seeing image popping up here and there. That means he did not look the likeness, he lost the image. He lost the image of God. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 3, can you please give me verse 3 there. I want to see, you will see how Paul began to write that, look, we are ministers of the New Testament. Amen. And we have been raised to write. Amen. So, for as much as we have manifestly declared to the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the earth. Verse 4. Not that, and such trust we have through God, through Christ to Godward. 5. Not that we are sufficient for ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6. And who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit does what? Giveth life. Now you're seeing the Spirit coming in again. Now listen to me. If you understand the Old Testament analogy, he was drawing an analogy here. In the Old Testament, what actually constitutes testament was the fact that God wrote on tables of stone. Praise God. You remember that time? They were ordinary tables. They were ordinary stones. Useless stones, as it were. Just ordinary granite, whatever it was. But as soon as God took those stones and began to write, what did he write on those stones? Huh? He wrote the Ten Commandments. And they took the Ten Commandments and put it in an ordinary box. Once those stones entered that command under that box, it ceased to be a wooden box. It became the Ark of what? The Testament. Praise God. It became basically the throne of God in the earth. That box was the most powerful artifact on earth. Praise God. I've told us before that archaeological findings said that ark does not climb mountains. You don't carry the ark and climb mountains. Praise God. You don't climb mountains. You don't go in valleys. You remember when the priests were carrying the ark and entered the river? What happened? The banks of the river was cut. They shut it down and pushed the river kilometers backwards. That was how powerful the Ark of the Covenant was. And what made it powerful? 10 stones. So 2 stones, 10 commandments. That was all. That was how powerful. That was just, if you had removed the stones from that ark, it would have remained a simple wooden box. Amen. Now Paul is telling us that the wisdom of God is to recreate that reality in the heart of men. Are you with me? That he wants to write those testaments. Now, if you go and read the Bible properly, he said he was going to abandon that testament, saying that he found fault with the practitioners of that testament. The problem was not with that testament. The problem was with the practitioners of what? The testament. And I said, I will now write these laws in your hearts. Amen. So the working of the Holy Ghost is to write those laws in our hearts. Now if those laws written on stones could make that ark powerful, can you imagine what you will be like when they have written all those laws on your own heart? Do you understand? The technology of sonship is the writing of that testament. Those laws, I beg your pardon. The reality of it. God has helped us with the anointing of the Spirit. But there is a stature that cannot take us far. The reality that thing is written in your heart. And for many of us, for 10 years, what they are still writing is, thou shall not. And that is, after that, you are already 80 years. And they have not gone beyond thou shall not. Praise God. Even that thou shall not, you carry a little measure of anointing. A little measure of glory. And I said, that guy was a champion. But they did not write beyond thou shall not. Praise God. But imagine that they wrote all the 10 in their hearts. All the laws are written in their hearts. Everything. Now, I don't know whether it was 10 that God wants to write. Amen. Because the Bible speaks about another law called the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. There's a law. And when you write that, those laws of the spirit in man's heart, the man stand. Listen, look, it is not prayer meeting that will bring down these entities in the air. Are you listening to me? Prayers won't bring them down. What will bring them down is when sons arise. Once they just rise, those guys will drop. Are you with me? What do you think brought down Diana in Ephesus? Paul was writing in the heart of men, the laws of the kingdom. And their allegiance shifted from Diana to the living God. And Diana fell. And we saw the physical manifestation on earth, that it affected the educational system, it affected the commerce, it affected social life, it affected religious life. It altered everything. That's what you call a what? A revival. There is no revival where men are still wicked. They are still lying. That's not a revival. When men are laying out, and there are many of you here, you are still subscribing to the prince of the power of the air. It's called the spirit of disobedience. You are still disobedient. You are self-willed. You will do it. Anything they got to, that thing you want. Go to fetch it. My shit. Thing less so, yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let us give tithe. I'm not giving tithe. Pastor wants to use my tithe to meet in Suya. Spirit of disobedience. Praise God. Don't cheat in class. You still go and giraffe. The pastor just said his own. There, I beg, show me that thing. Amen. I won't forget when we were very young. I had a professor. First, I was about to do is they were about to do their semester exams. And I came to church. I said, please, under no circumstances must you help anybody in class in exam. Help them before you enter the exam, but not during the exam. And there was one young boy. That boy is brilliant. I say, boy is brilliant. Boy, Eguno. Very promising young man. It was that exam. He carried himself. I was helping. That was when they now caught him. The other people that are doing, they didn't catch them. It was him gone. And that boy lost his admission. I couldn't help him. Couldn't do anything. Because I'd warned him. I warned everybody. So, many of you are still subscribed to that spirit. That spirit is still controlling many of you. I used to tell my daughters, if I come for your wedding and your face is not like the face I know, I will walk away. If I don't walk away, I'll pour water on your face. They say, Pastor, there are people designing one that water cannot even change. If I pour water on your face, it doesn't change, I will walk away. Praise God. Why must you copy the world? What do they have that your eye is entering it? Pastor, it's only one day. You need only one day to go to hell. You don't need 2 days. Amen. Pastor, that will take me to hell. You are laying the foundation for it. It tells me that you are a fake person. You like fakeness. You like to deceive yourself. You don't understand manifestation. Have you noticed that when you are happy, you wear bright clothes? I don't know whether you paid attention. The kind of clothes you wear that day is not a dull kind of. You don't dress anyhow. I don't know whether you understand me. I'm just using. I don't know. Not all of us are the same, but I guess for majority of us, I'm not. Even if you don't have good clothes, you still wear something that makes sense. Amen. But when you are not, when a person is not happy, he can wear a shirt and put buba and wear slippers and canvas together. This man's mind is troubled. Priest, do you follow what I'm trying to say? So you as a person must realize that whatever it is that you show is a reflection of what's going on in the inside. The transactions on your inside will reflect. If you are not contented with the life that God is asking you to live, and you want that other life, know that you are setting yourself on a path that will not end well. Israel had that problem. What led to them asking for a king? They said, we want to be like other nations. You remember? You want to be like other nations. You don't know what it means. My goodness. I saw, what's the greatest man? Putin, the president of Russia. He was coming out. There was this massive door, I've said it before, almost about 15 feet tall, pure gold. The tile, it's not this kind of tile. The original tile, praise God. That reflects light, amen. And when that door opened, as big as that door, Putin just came out. I said, see glory. That guy is a war power. He's the epitome of the Russian Federation. I don't know, do you follow me? It's not like I'm my own president. Because there's no glory. Praise God. Amen. Glory divided in glory. Even some, about Babangida. May God forgive Babangida. Head of state came to Nigeria to do ECOWAS meeting. They gave them tear rubber cars to just drive them around. When they finished, Babangida gave it to them. Said, take it home. They didn't have money. Babangida paid for the cars to be flown to their country. That's what they call glory. Amen. But we can't try that again. Thanks to Buhari and China. Am I communicating? So you cannot see. So when Israel saw that, they didn't have a visible king. Their king was invisible. Amen. And they didn't like. It was as if when they go for international summit, they say, where is your king? They say, it's Jehovah. It's Anigara to be here. Our tiny king. Do you understand? Have you been there before where you get a place and they say, this is Israel, I beg, come on, we don't have time to talk. Look, you have to be, if you are going to serve God, we're good on this stubborn, no, I'm there. Are you with me? I told you I went for an international conference and I deliberately printed the card and my name, I put on my name, Prince Oluwaseyi Osoyinbi. So when I give a Igbo man, because I can't give him tracts, I gave him, yeah, prince. Yes, I'm a prince. I was born a prince. I was not born a prince, actually. I just, you like to hear the story? Can you go, I didn't hear, I would like to hear the story. Then I said, I was not born a prince. This is how the King of Kings adopted me, and I said the salvation. International conference, huh? People from all over the world. So after the war, a lot of them got to know me, they were running. When I come into Daniel, I'll just get up. But I had no shame. If I go to serve God, oh, you can't afford to have shame. I have no apologies to make. Amen. I don't have apologies to make. I just go my own way and tell you. You like, whatever, you throw me out. So in that conference, they felt I was a NFA. So when we had a plenary session and I was listening to all of them. We both, different parts of the world, they were talking. Because I was intimidated by their color. Amen. And their English. And I was like, but when I was listening, I found that wise old men are not always wise. I was listening to them. So I now raised my hand to make a comment. The British man, you know, British people are very saucy. They have a way of intelligently insulting you. But you know, mind. So after he had given every other person a chance, he went over me, picked the next person, but my hands remained up. So for democracy's sake, he had to, okay, let us hear this NFP talk, he's from Nigeria. And I sat down and analyzed everything they had been seen as rubbish. And I told them, this is how you're supposed to do it. They came down and so process it. I just gave them process. Oh, more anything. Say, well, I didn't know you are this intelligent. I was insulted. How did I got here? Praise God. Amen. Don't let anybody put you down. Look, the car I drive is Tokumbo. One person has driven it. He bought it here rubber. He got tired and sold it to me. It's not a proof that I'm serving a living God. Car is not the proof. It's not the proof. It's not the house. I will never have even, I will never have what it takes to compete with the what are these people in Saudi Arabia? King Fahad and all of them. We will not have that money. But there's something I'm going to have that they will not have. It's the fact that I will conquer sin and death. That's the difference. Let that one be your focus. It's not that we want to hey, oh God, mo fe wo lo ogbo mi lo. The church has been deceived. We can't continue. There's only one ogbo. We must conquer sin and death. Look at that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 56. I will close because I can't continue. I will continue else another time when we have the author's feast on Tuesday. Okay, can you go back to 50, let's say from 53. Let's say from 53, then I'll close. Said, for this corruption must put on incorruption. This is the plan of God. Here's where it's going. Amen. Praise God. And this mortality must put on immortality. Next verse. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up what? In victory. Amen. And we will say, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Pay attention to the next verse. The sting of death is what? The sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Pay attention. In Romans chapter 8, Paul began to give us the key to unlocking this mystery. Many of you, see, that's why I don't like this song of, this woman. This song they used to sing. The song of the dead. I call it the song of the dead. But it's the song of the dead. Abi has one song that is the song of the dead. They play it when somebody has died. I don't like going for burial programs because it keeps reminding me, you know, because it keeps acting as a block in my mind that this is my lot. And it's not supposed to be. Listen to me, there is nothing that God wants to do. Men must believe God for it. It is this thing that we are rewriting that is here is not sovereign. Did you hear what I said? It's not the act of sovereignty. A man must believe. You must actively believe. Everything that God gave, it's on the platform of faith. The birth of Jesus was not a sovereign act. Did you hear what I said? At least we know two persons that had to fight in prayers to birth it, to be a reality. Nothing of God comes by just wishing. But he has said it. Sarah, what will be, nah. The generation will waste until another generation rises. And so that brings me to the prayer points we pray. What kind of prayer points do we really pray? We spend most of our time praying on things that are temporary. Temporary things. But if the church will begin to change, I know it's not going to be easy. Honestly, it's not easy. It's not easy. I don't know whether you have played chess like I play chess to a point. When I'm chasing your queen or your king, the other opponent is chasing my own king. Amen. It's like who gets to the other person's own first? Praise God. Now when I see you're getting close to my own, I abandon my forces of your king to come and defend my own king. Once I start that way, game is over. I've gone on defensive. Do you understand? So the pressure of life is deliberately done. That it will help break your focus. So that you will shift your attention from the things. Remember I said about, I come in the volume of the books that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Can you keep your focus on the will and at the expense of your daily needs? That is a challenge. It takes training. Hard training. When there is no food or there is no possibility of salary, You now say, Lord, thy will is thy. Remember the first thing he told us about the prayer? We call it the Lord's Prayer, but basically I call it the disciples' prayer. Say, teach us to pray. The Lord's Prayer is in chapter 17 of John. That one in Matthew is the disciples' prayer, not the Lord's Prayer. Amen. He said, this is how you will pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Anything, see, that is tithe. That's the principle of tithe. That prayer, I just explained tithe to you. Elijah told the woman of Zarephath, said, give me first. If you don't give God first, he won't take any other thing. That's the principle of tithe. You honor him first, even at the expense of going hungry. Because this food is for hire, my child. And Elijah is asking for first. How was he going to go around? Naturally, Elijah was very selfish and unreasonable. And what are our definitions? Praise God. But you know the rest of the story. They did not go hungry. You must understand the first principle. This is the first thing that came on that prayer list is that thy kingdom come. But usually, please, do an audit of the prayers we make. That is not the first item on the agenda. It's not about his kingdom and not about his will. It's about many other different things. Hallelujah. And so I said that this thing will require faith. You have to believe. We have to actively begin to pray and believe God for the activation. Praise God. And so in Romans chapter 8, flip back to Romans chapter 8 and let me conclude on that. I have less than a minute, about a minute. Romans 8, pick it from verse 2. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit, pay attention. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. It did not set you free. It made you free from the law of sin and death. Now, you will give me some extra minutes. Let me explain what I mean by me. Praise God. I'm not going Greek. I'm just going simple explanation. I don't know the Greek of made. But when a couple marry, do you understand? The woman comes out, we open the veil, they pronounce them, and the man said, this have become man and wife. Usually the woman loses her family name to take on the name of the man. Now, at the point they turn around and they're walking down the aisle, less than 2 hours service, the lady that came in as Miss Something is going back as Mrs. Something, whatever it is. Praise God. Now, she has been made a wife. Do you follow me? That technically cannot be unchanged, except one person say he or she is not doing it again. But as long as the word of God remains, says he said, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. No man. No man should put asunder. So let us assume they are not put asunder. That means that they are already made a couple. They are made. They are nothing technically should separate them. Praise God. Are you with me? Now, irrespective of the height of that lady will not grow taller because she was pronounced a wife. That lady will not be any other thing. Do you follow me? You are made. Now, the difference between the lady that came in as a miss and the lady that went out is this ring. Do you understand me? Well, I say, hey, how are you, my dear? Whatever your name is, Tolu, anything. You just say, all things have passed away. What happened? Somewhere in her mind, there was a switch. Any girl that does not switch, she becomes what? An alot. Agbiri, alagbiri. But the problem is not with the ladies, it's with the man. Most men don't change. They are still Badu. Badu. He's going out and see her in that lady. Go, marry later, marry later. He has forgotten that he had made vows. That I've taken my eyes away. that only you will I be looking at. Yeah, do you follow me? His mind has not changed. He has not altered his mindset. Do you understand where the mind issue is? And so this scripture says that that has made you free. Majority of us have not come to accept and to start living in that consciousness that we're made free. Pastor spoke about lawful captive. If you look at animals, there are certain animals also. I don't know what they did an experiment with the horse that was used. They tied the horse or so like that, and it was only used to go in so much distance. After they removed the rope, the horse did not give that radius because it has been ingrained in its mind that is its radius of activity. Many of us are like that. We are still thinking like the fallen man. It's a mind thing. You must change your way of perception. Praise God. So let me move on. And verse 3 now says this. And this is where I'm coming to. Verse 3. For what the law could not do. The law was supposed to do something, but the law could not do it. We found that the law could not accomplish what God had in mind to do. In that it was weak through the flesh, or because of the flesh. Now God accomplished his purpose by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Next verse, 4. For that the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The Old Testament saints could not conquer. They could not completely obey the law because the flesh was a factor that the law could not deal with. There's no provision in that testament that could deal with the flesh. Are you with me? But the Bible now said that God, through Christ, and this was the reason why Christ said that it was needful I go, so that the Spirit can come. Beyond all the things we said about the Spirit of grace, this is one of the major things about the Holy Spirit. It's to enable us fulfill the requirements and fulfill the righteousness, that the righteousness of the Lord might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you walk after the Spirit? By yielding to grace. It's a very simple technology, but very profound. Amen. Now, when you stop breaking the laws and you keep obeying the law of life, pay attention. There is no basis. Remember in 1 Corinthians 15, it said the sting of death is sin, and what? The strength of sin is the law. So the antidote to dealing with death is by the Spirit obey everything in the law. Are you with me? Once you obey that, there is no ground for sin. And when there is no ground for sin, there is no basis for death. The technology is simple. But the problem is that there is a lot of work to be done. It's not simple like that. You now know why you need the Spirit of grace. So he that does not walk in the flesh is he that walks in the Spirit, that works after the Spirit of grace, that has understood the Spirit and the dynamics of how it works. They are the people that can overcome sin and death. The generation must get there and testify that they will tell death, and they will make that declaration. It's not rapture. Did you hear what I said? It's not what? Not rapture. It's not rapture. On this earth, that reality must come. Because it's a weakness. Because I'm closing now. You see, I'm closing. Amen. I believe Satan had told God it's not possible. We are celestial beings. We still fail. And you are telling us that clay will become sons. Collectively. Like, over my dead body will it happen? Can you imagine Satan telling God, over my dead body? So right now, all of us, we are on the field. And Satan is telling God, shame yourself for me. Unleash, go possible. So it is up to you and I to prove God is right. That's why the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the one that will declare that God is right. Do you understand that scripture now? You will declare that God is right. When Job eventually overcame all those temptations, did he not vindicate God? He vindicated God. He proved that God was right. He said, I know my servant Job. He won't compromise. He won't throw in the towel. Satan said, let me touch him. I swear. I won't touch him two times. Once. Praise God. The same thing is happening to our generation. Satan has not changed. And the issues are still the same. My appeal is that let us run the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Please, don't be over patient. I mean, don't be over anxious that you want to walk on clouds. You want to fly. That's not the thing now. Are you with me? I wish I have a PhD. But honestly speaking, I can't go to the rigors of getting a PhD. I wish it. So if wishes were horses, if we're beggars, right. I pray and commit you to God's grace that you will fulfill your destiny. And that destiny is to finish everything that is written in the volume of the books that is written about you and I in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. Just appreciate the Lord and commit yourself to him and ask him to fulfill that which you have heard and you have listened and you come across in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.